morning. Good to be here this morning.
Amen.
Good to have Sister Daniella with us. And obviously, yeah. Brother Matt, do you?
Well, we're one of the same.
Yeah, but if you've seen you, you've not seen Matthew. No, bless your heart. No. No. All right, we're on Hebrews. You got that?
Yeah, okay.
Hebrews 11. In our Hebrew series, we got to Hebrews 11, 24. Last week, we were talking about, by faith, Joseph, when he died, didn't want to leave his bones in Egypt. He wanted them taken to Israel because he knew that's where the resurrection was at.
Right.
And we were talking about the journey of faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because you don't have to have faith that you're going to get to church this morning. You're here. Your faith was when you got in the car or got started getting ready, or some of us that are older just getting up.
And the
yellow light come on and the dashboard, a yellow light.
Yeah, I don't know what it's about.
It didn't say anything? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right, so by faith, each person, there was a faith journey, and there's a faith journey that you, listen, we're not going to need faith after a body change. What do we need faith for? And Jesus walked in a world of perfect faith, but he didn't have to have faith. He already knew, he didn't have to have faith he was going to raise Lazarus. He just knew who he was because what God had done showed him a vision 4 days early. Now see, that's where you can have confidence. When you see something, well, see, I've never seen a vision. I was thinking about this the other day. I've never seen a vision, but this Word of God is a vision. This is what we've got to see, is that the Word of God is a vision.
Right.
It's a vision God had before the foundation of the world.
Right.
And now you and I are what? Fulfilling the vision.
Right.
Well, once our part's fulfilled, as we were talking about last night, once that vision is fulfilled for the Gentiles, God moves to the Jews, and then from the Jews, we go into the millennium together. Well, it's still partial revelation, partial vision for others. But now for me and you, when we take a rapture, we don't need redemption anymore. Redemption's over. I mean, what more? You have a body change. But still, the world's got to catch up to us, though. The world's not totally redeemed. The 144,000 have to be redeemed. The fifth sealed Jew, all those different ones have to be redeemed. And then in the millennium, there's a little time of rest, 1,000 years, where we all rest. All right? Then you got the white throne judgment, which redemption is continuing into the white throne judgment, because there will be redemption given to people, foolish virgin, cup of water in my name, and all those different ones. Their journey will end when they get into the future home, because Brother Brown said time will blend into eternity. So time is going to actually continue on until the future home. Because remember, the millennium is in your seventh day. It's not an eighth-day manifestation. It's still in what we would call time, or the seventh church age. Now, right, the seventh church age ends because of the Gentiles. It ends for us when we go into rapture.
Exactly.
Everybody got that? Mm-hmm. But time continues on.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to literally live 1,000 years to prove the sin curse has been done away with. So there's going to be 24 hours, but remember, this is just my thought, it's not going to be 365 and a fourth. We're not going to have leap years in the millennium. No, it goes back to 360 days. That's what you have to count everything as, is your calendar of 360 days as the world comes back up. Because remember, the way the world was knocked out of kilter was the flood.
Right?
Right? And Brother Brown said, it could be an atomic explosion, because man's always destroyed himself. Well, what if the Battle of Armageddon is going to be where it reverses it back and stands it back up? Because we're going to be under 360-day year from then on. All right? The prophets are going to prophesy 1,260 days. There's no calendar that they're going to go by for 1,260 days. It's going to be 30 days to a month, 1,260 consecutive days. But we have faith for that. But, you know, we don't have to, I guess man has went crazy, saying, well, I got to have faith for this and have faith for that. There has to come a time where you have an assurity. It says by faith. In other words, or through faith. Through faith is a journey. You go through faith, because remember what happened right here. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And you get to, these died in faith, but Sarah went through faith. Through faith, not by faith, through faith.
Right.
All right, Sarah, which is type of the bride, type of the woman. So by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because he saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. As we were talking last night with the youth, Moses' mother had a lot to do with his journey, because she kept telling him, you're not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You're born to be a leader. You're born to be this. So she, by her connection to Moses, he gave him a chance or an opportunity, and that, and then Moses, well, I wrote a third of the Old Testament. And for surety, Moses is one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. See what I'm saying? I'm bringing this to a point. Then you go over in the New Testament, or the book of Matthew in there, where Herodia raised her daughter. Yeah. And she told her to go dance in front of Herod.
Right.
And I don't believe it was just a Texas two-step.
Right.
It was something very sensual.
Yes.
But you see what I mean? So what that cause was, though, is for Herod to cut the head off of John the Baptist. Well, now that woman raised her daughter to go to hell. This woman raised her son to be a great prophet.
Right.
So that's what I was talking about last night. Us as parents, we do the best we can, but you really need to, the Bible says when they're older, they'll not depart from you.
Right.
Right.
So you instill these things in them when they're young. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, what was his reward? His reward. Now, he could have stayed in Egypt and been the king, been the Pharaoh.
Yeah.
He was in line. He could do that. I mean, but it would have been a temporal thing. It would have been for a season. And I'm sure Moses looks and sees all these Pharaohs, and everybody's trying to kill Pharaoh. I mean, you know, he's got all the people around him, and they don't last very long sometimes. unless they kill everybody, all their people around them. So he figured that he'd rather just stay into what he was in, that his mother told him, you're going to be a leader. You're going to be the one to do this. You're going to be the one who's going to take him out with a mighty hand. By faith, he forsook what? The world, Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now watch, through faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest that he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So through faith, he had to believe what God said. Go kill a lamb, everybody get inside, put them. Hey, baby girl. Hey, put the blood over the doorpost. And see, you have to believe that. But what you do is you believe for that manifestation. Mm-hmm. All right? Because the manifestation was, they heard the cry of all the firstborn in Egypt, all the cattle and all, everything that wasn't covered under the blood died. So Moses, through faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Now look, I want you to see something here. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Now, who's they? That's the whole of Israel. But now, read your Bible. They come up to the Red Sea, They turn around to Moses and say, why have you brought us out here to die? Someone had to come on the scene that had faith. Remember Brother Brown preaches, why cry speak? Right? Because Moses began to cry. Right? There's really, in faith, there's no crying. You need to speak and go forward. By faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the evidence was that they got across the Red Sea on dry land. The faith they had in Moses. And Moses put his surety in what God already said. That's what he said back up here. Moses, right here. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover. He was going to lead the people out. Same way with the children of Israel. It's just like me and you. We murmur and complain. We come up against the wall, and what's the first thing we do? Cry out to God. Why'd you send me in this direction? Why? You know what? Who are we to tell the Creator this is the wrong way? But remember, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get.
Right.
Right.
Would you please explain the last part of 27? Verse 26.
20 which?
27.
20.
That rough one. Where it says, seeing him who is invisible. Does that mean seeing God?
Yeah, he had to have faith. He didn't have to have faith if the man was standing in front of him. He had faith. Listen, these people had faith. That's why they're called the faith chapter is. Listen, you and I have seen God move through a prophet. We've seen the Word of God. We've seen Him move in our life. Moses and Abraham just heard somebody talking to him. They just heard somebody talking to him. Now, how many times has somebody talked to you and it not be God? 1,000? A day? But then you come up to one person, Abraham, and Abraham's sitting in his recliner, and you know, he's feeling pretty good, and all of a sudden he hears this voice that says, get up and move. And he does. Why? Because he chose the right one. Same way with Moses. He never saw God until they were in their journey. Remember, he saw the backside of the man. I want to see you. Way on down here, Pat, in the journey, is when he really saw God. So he was believing. God never showed himself to Moses at this point in time. He showed him to him in the journey. He showed himself in the journey. But Moses believed so much in what? Remember, let's go back to what his mother. His mother taught him to believe in the invisible. And that's the same way with you and I. We should teach our kids to believe in the supernatural. Supernatural is invisible.
Right.
Right? So as seeing him who is invisible. We're talking about God, Christ, whatever you want. Christ through the Old Testament, Jehovah. That was who he's talking about. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they were compassed about 7 days. And then we have to include right here, by faith, Rahab, the harlot, perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. Now that, you go back to what I was talking about the other day. What a great show of sanctification. Rahab was not a pure woman by no means. She was well known in the community.
Yes.
In all of Jericho, I'm sure.
Yes.
Now why did God pick her? Because she had faith. She was part of the faith. She believed. The two spies come in and they said, okay, if you'll stay right here, run the red rope down, because you have helped us escape, we'll give you, you know, we'll, in other words, we'll let you live. And of course, it was the plan of God all the way along, because here's Rahab. You got Rahab marries an Israeli general who has Obed, who has Jesse, who has David. So a really good lineage comes through that prostitute. But you know what? A really good lineage comes through this prostitute, because that's what we were. We were all prostitutes. Right. We were prostitutes to drinking and smoking and cussing and gambling and all the other things. That's what we were prostituted at. But by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And then it stops. And then he put a bunch of them together. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David, Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, that was Gideon, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I was reading in, it was either King, I think it was 2 Kings, where the army was outnumbered like 25 or 30 to 1. And whoever the prophet was at the time, I can't really remember, the king comes to him and says, what are we going to do? And then the prophet says, well, let me go talk to God, in other words, and I'll go see what's going on. He said, oh, don't worry. He said, going into battle, said, the battle's yours and you'll win the battle. Well, now, buddy, let me tell you, that'd be hard to get to the infantryman. It wasn't so hard to get it to the general or the one or the king, the one that asked it. But when you go down and tell your army of 300 that there's 3,000 men down here in this field and you're going to destroy every one of them, you really have to convey that. You know, why am I saying that? Because it's like we talk about the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry has to get the revelation first. And then we have to convey it to you that you don't have faith in us. You have faith in what we say. You have faith in what's said. If we bring you the Word of God, you have faith in the Word of God.
Right.
Like we were talking about the other night about Brother Branham. You know, he said, when he was talking about the race war, where, you know, they die like flies, and Daddy's told him many times. He said, that wasn't thus saith the Lord, that was me. Right. He said, you got to watch. You got to be careful and watch. A lot of things that even prophets say, that just be careful. A lot of it is human thoughts, but when they bring you the Word of God,
right,
faith's final resting place is in this Word of God. When you can take it back to this Word of God, you can be assured or have faith that, remember, a prophet is a divine revealer of the Word. Now, he doesn't reveal it to you. He can't reveal it to you, but he makes it so plain and simple to where that childlike simple faith reacts back and says, that ain't nothing but the truth, just like Hedda Wright did. That ain't nothing but the truth. And you have to say that. When you do that, God has to honor that because you bring it together.
Right.
Because what happens is God can't honor a false word. He can't honor anything false. He has to honor His word. It's like Brother Brown said, call God on the scene. Right? Call God on the scene. Tell Him you did everything you're supposed to do. And if He don't do what He's supposed to do, you can call Him a liar. Now, that's pretty strong. But you better make sure you do everything that you're supposed to do right down the line. Right? Because you'll get in trouble with God doing that. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. I was trying to think back again. Well, there was one battle. There was like 10,000 men in this one battle. And they were the enemy, and there were the Chaldeans, I think, and they came up, because I'm reading Jeremiah, they came up to battle Judah, not Judah himself, but the Judean kingdom. And God told whoever it was to go to Jeremiah, I guess, and told him, said, Don't worry. The battle's yours. Don't worry about it. They get up the next morning, and God has sent the death angel through the camp and killed all the whole army of the whole enemy. They're just laying out there dead.
Right.
And the guy tells them, says, go get the spoil of the land and get all this stuff, you know, because God's come through and He just killed every one of them. That's the kind of God I want. Never had to pull a sword. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mocking, scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. Remember Isaiah, they cut him in pieces. Tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now look, I love what Paul interpolates. Paul interpolates here with the parentheses, of whom the world was not worthy. The world wasn't worthy for them people. They only, even though they are the great hall of faith leaders, this world wasn't even worthy for them to do what they did. But they were put in here for what? Our example. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now look, here's the whole point. And these all, having obtained a good report or testimony, through faith received not the promise. What's the promise? Acts 2:38.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because the promise is to your children, right? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. They never received the promise.
Amen.
Listen, when God stood in Genesis 3:15, His promise was, I'm going to send myself, and I'm going to be the seed of the woman, and I'm going to make this thing come right back together. That's a promise, but not just to come as Jehovah, and like you said, you know, like he fought their battles sometimes. And God will fight yours if you'll let Him, but they steal something, you got to fight. Right? So, because they obtained a good report, through faith received not the promise. The promise was, is that you've got Adam and Eve standing here, and they fell, and God wanted to give eternal life to everybody, bring the bride forth, and bring the ones that were to have eternal life in their soul. There's no way they could do that in the Old Testament. Not happening.
That's right.
So, but what was the promise? The promise is, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And that's what God wants. He don't want to live with us. It's okay that he lives with us. He lived with the children of Israel. But He always wanted to dwell inside of them.
That's right.
He always wanted to dwell in people, not just with people. So they never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul. Sure, they're going to be eternal. Sure, they're going to be there. But you know what? They're not bride. I read you in Jeremiah last Sunday. They lost their brideship. God had to put them away. Jehovah had to put them away for what they did. But He can't restore them back to wife again because the ground's polluted. We read that, remember? The ground's polluted. You can't take the wife back after she's been polluted. But it doesn't mean you have to kill her either. No, he brings 144,000 in. He's going to bring all these Old Testament saints. And you know what? To be truthful, they're not going to get to live in the city either. We were talking about that last night, about who lived in the city and who lives outside the city. They're going to have to live outside the city. Only the bride and the 144,000 living inside that city. Now, they're not included in that. Even the great Moses. Now sure, you've got your 12 apostles and your 12 patriarchs. But there's nowhere that they get what we get. They've lost that position. But God thought so much. This is why this is the hall of faith. Listen, we should have way more surety than they did.
Right.
We've been taught, we've got Bible, we've got message books, we've got all this different information. Abraham was just sitting down one day in his recliner, like I said, working for his father-in-law, making idols, making a good living, and all of a sudden somebody says, Abram, you need to come and go in a different direction. You need to get up and follow me. How many times has that been told here? You know, many times you say, whoa, what do you mean? And he had nothing to check it with. He didn't have nothing to check it with.
Ain't that right, baby?
He didn't have nothing. Moses had his mama. His mama. God through his mama was telling him, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Right? But now you and I, Brother Brown says many times, he said, we live way below our privileges. Why? Because you see the great miracles that happened in the Old Testament. Under the blood of bulls and goats, God anointing people. But now He's not anointing people today. If you're born again, you are the anointing. You are the promise. That's why it says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Now, as I've illustrated many times before, as Paul is speaking this, they were these people back here. Paul was standing here in the New Testament, just started during Paul's time, you know.
Right.
New Testament wasn't when Jesus was here.
It's
when
exactly.
Paul and Peter, and when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, that's when the church age started. Exactly. That's when the New Testament started.
Right.
He's standing there, though, saying, better thing for us that day. He looks back, all the way back to Adam. They without us cannot be made perfect. Well, now, when Paul got his head chopped off, he became a lay. He's not an us anymore. He's a lay. So now we're standing over here at the end of the church ages, looking back to Paul, through Paul, back to Adam, and they're waiting on us, because they without us cannot be made perfect. But this us is going to end it all. There's not another one coming. It's going to be perfected. It's just going to be us. So that us, Paul was prophesying. But until he died, he was an us. He was living the promise. God having some better thing for us that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Or apart from, we will read that, and then perfect, I think that means complete. Yes. Because there was no completion in Paul's day. You still had your... Sure, in the soul he was born again, no doubt.
Right.
But he didn't have... He was actually... The seals, what? He didn't even know what a seal was. Remember I told y'all the other day, and it kind of shocked you. Paul was already dead. He never knew that John went to Patmos. John went to Patmos in the AD 90s. Paul was killed in AD 66. Paul never heard of a seal, but he preached all about it.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
By revelation, he didn't know what to call it. So he preached, but he didn't know what seal one was, seal two was, seal three was. He was already gone. He was dead and already in another dimension. But who is that for, though? That was for us to see that John typed the bride and that we... Now watch. Remember, chapters are put in by man, not by God. This is a letter to the Hebrews. Paul is writing a letter to the Hebrews. Watch his last thought. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Don't lose your thought, because he keeps writing. Wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, what? That they without us cannot be made perfect. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, not looking back to the ones, because right here's where the promise came from. The promise didn't come from the Old Testament. The promise didn't come from Barak and David and all. The promise came from Jesus Christ.
Right.
So Paul is bringing an updated revelation that we got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, where's the throne of God now? It's not in heaven, it's in you. Right?
That's right.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. For consider him that endured such contradiction, Jesus Christ, of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. In other words, don't worry about what these people are saying. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastisement of the Lord, nor faint when they are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. What we just talked about, this whole dissertation is for this one verse. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Like I said yesterday, you can't have a testimony without having a test first. Got to have a test. The first four letters of testimony are T-E-S-T. So you got to have a test before you have a testimony. All right? But don't forget all these people in the Old Testament. But Paul brings that revelation up to Jesus endured such contradiction. Mm-hmm. You need to endure such contradiction. And you have not yet resisted unto blood. In other words, you guys hadn't died for what you believed in yet. Now, he knew he was. Right. Maybe later on, but he probably didn't when he was writing Hebrews. Striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when they are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Brother Matthew was telling me a story about something that he had done, and the Lord let him pout for about 3 weeks over something. And then he brought him the revelation of what was going on. Well, you know, I said, well, Brother Matthew, I said, he wouldn't have done that if you weren't a child. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have went after you and let you stew over it for a few weeks and then bring you a revelation and then know that you won't use it. He brought that so you can use it.
That's right.
All right? And he did for a testimony.
Yes.
If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Pretty hard words there, Paul. Illegitimate. And you know what? It's the truth. If you're not a son of God, you're illegitimate. There's a lot of illegitimate Christians out here. They're not sons and daughters of God. They just try to stay in the family. Because remember, an illegitimate child is part of the family. Somebody's, somewhere, there's a genetic connection between an illegitimate child. They just weren't born the right way. That's the same way with born again. If you're not born again the right way, because remember, Brother Brown says there's brides, brides, churches, brides, but there's going to come one.
Right.
And we are standing in the one, which will be sons and daughters of God. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? In other words, the Heavenly Father. For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be protected of his holiness. Just what I said. The chastisement is a test, and the test is what we have to go through, that we can come back and tell others, you know, that go through the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. There is no time you go through a test that you say, thank God, but now afterwards you look back and say, thank God. If you're going through a test, I mean, you do a lot of battling, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Right.
But when you get to the end of it and God brings you something strong, a good revelation or tells you where you are, well, that just it's like a woman having a child. The pain is real. But you sisters don't dwell on, well, boy, when I had, you know, Junior, boy, when I had Josh at 2:04 in the morning on April the 20th, whatever it was, when was he born? May 22nd. May the 22nd. See, I already forgot you too.
I thought you were there.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, you said bad words to me when I was there.
I did not.
Man, she was mean. But anyway, but you don't.
Yeah.
But you don't. I mean, you don't dwell on it. You don't even remember. You shouldn't remember the pain that you endured. That's the same thing with him. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. While you're going through it, it's pretty painful. But grievous, nevertheless, afterwards it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Why? Because you move into a place that you know you're a child of God. Because if he done it, and you made it through, and you're a better person for it, that is not the devil.
Amen.
If it continues on for years, that's the devil. You know, you're having... But I'm like Brother Matthew, you know, Brother Matthew was talking about... What was he? Was having some kind of problem or something? And he said, Lord, he was telling us the other night. He said, Lord, I know you can do this. What is wrong with me? What have I done? That's the first thing you do. What have I done?
He got weak when he was
week, but when he got up to preach, he was over.
Yeah, his back, well, his back was hurting him. His back would kill him, and that's the way it is. I've had split headaches and get up and preach and it go away, but when you go back into study, the headache comes right back. But he was like saying, Lord, what have I done? What, you know, I know this is right. I know this is the Word of God. But remember, see, if God gives you that instantly, where's the test? Where's the time trial?
That's right.
All right?
Yeah.
This is not a microwave doctrine. This is like a crock pot, you know, it's slow cooking, you know, so it's slow and steady.
That's it.
It won't be joyous, and it won't be, because man, how many times have you ever, well, now when you get through the end of it, you say, man, that was just for me, that was my, but buddy, going through it, you're like, Lord, where are you? Like Matthew said, what have I done? Right? But nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercise thereby. In other words, going through it.
That's right.
Because you know what? Sometimes you may have to go through a trial so that somebody else may not have to go through that trial because they can't handle it like you handle it.
Yeah.
You ever thought of that? You'll go through something to help someone else and for you to tell that testimony because you're the stronger, because God's not going to put any more on you than you can endure. Right? And you think, man, sometimes he puts us right to the edge of it, but we're still here. But you may have to go through it because you can handle it and that sister or brother can't handle it, and you can tell that brother or sister a testimony of how God led you through it and the stupid thing you've done to get into it, and maybe they'll go a different direction and see that's something they can't handle that you can handle.
Right.
I was telling Sister Noma Jeffries when Brother Jeffries died, she said, I don't know how I can handle this. I said, Noma, I said, if you're a child of God, we know Junior's fine. I said, but you know one thing's for sure. June may not take it like you can take it. I'm still here. I said, but he took Junior knowing you could take it and you could handle it. Because how else are you going to explain that? You can't explain it no other way. Is it that whoever that person is going through a trial, they can take it.
That's true.
And they can use it for good. And Sister Noma has done fine. Everybody gets lonely, I guess, at times when you lose your mate. Never had that happen before. But if you do, know one thing for sure. If you're a child of God, God's not just going to say, okay, I'm going to take your husband and you're just out there, you know, fend for yourself.
Right.
No. No. God's not that way with his children. Anything you go through, any trial or tribulation you go through, it is for your benefit and your training.
Right.
So that you can show others and teach others. I told Joe come down and asked if we'd come up a little bit early, so we're going to do that. Right here, look. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. It's really easy to do this. But lift up your hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let's read 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We'll stop right there. Let's go up there. They're probably still in Sunday school, so y'all go out that way. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes. Yep, I'll fix it right here in just a second.